you. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. Psalm 23. Perhaps the best known and most loved portion of Scripture in the whole Bible. I want to ask you this morning to walk away from it, so as to live an authentic faith in the 21st century, I think we should walk away from the beautiful, reassuring, comforting words of Psalm 23. Now, I know how comforting it can be, especially when sung or said at a funeral. I have watched as people who have not had much contact with the Christian church for years encounter once again the comforting, warm words of Psalm 23, reassured. The promise they first encountered perhaps many years before in Sunday school, heard again. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or the slightly less poetic modern versions. I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, or throughout the years to come. Or in the version translated by Harry Moveley, for as long as my life endures. Walk away from it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no ill, for you are with me. Walk away from it. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Walk away. I'm not saying any of this is not true. I just think we should choose to walk away from it. Let me explain. Look at the end. You spread a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Don't you think that can sound a little bit arrogant? There we are, we churchgoers, in a hostile, indifferent world, a world of folk making their way according to their own lights, and for whatever reason having no contact with the Christian faith for years, and if they should look in on us, what will they see? They will see us saying that God is here, that life is better for us because of our faith, that knowing Jesus makes for the best kind of human life there is. Is that what we want folk to see? Much that passes for evangelism, for outreach, for mission in the life of the church seems to say so, to highlight the difference between the church and the world. Not just Christianity, it's all religion. In fact, you could say that religion is often about us and them. It is about division. It is about gloating over enemies. Whether you think in terms of the major divided religions of the world or the tiny, often very dangerous cults, or you may speak in terms of today's current form of politics that strikes me as being filled with the kind of passionate intensity associated with religion at its worst. Many people have walked away from all that. You can't blame them. But if they should come to it again, maybe at a funeral, what will they find? Will they find that the old religion is alive and well, shepherds and being led, and gloating over our enemies? Yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but, as somebody once said. It's not really what we're about, is it? We follow Jesus, don't we? Who spoke about taking up your cross, who called us to go the extra mile, who said, love your enemies, who talked about forgiveness without limit, about dying to self. See, this is really about where the church, the life of faith, is positioned, where the church, where we choose to be positioned to stand in today's world. In a world that is understandably preoccupied with personal fulfillment and good health and long life and economic prosperity, but is a world increasingly fearful, that is driven in our day towards easy solutions that are no solutions to anything. A world that grows coarse and brash with every passing day and is increasingly divided, where disagreements produce enemies everywhere. And in such a world, the faith of the Galilean. A faith that runs counter to all the things in the world around us. The faith of the Good Shepherd. We need to return to the subject of shepherds for a minute. You remember their world? We talked about it in Advent. The world of shepherds and sheep, the world that has shaped the economy and the geography and the landscape of so much of our world. You remember the talk about the towns in Somerset and Wiltshire and Gloucestershire, the quad bikes, the dry stone walls, a day's walk from one town to another, enough to get your sheep there to market. Well, there's something else. Psalm 23 could mislead us if we are not careful. Psalm 23 says, you lead me beside still waters. But the parable of Jesus, heard today in the storytelling, is about lost sheep. Well, a sheep that gets lost hasn't been led, has it? In John's Gospel, Jesus does speak about leading the sheep who know his voice, but he goes on to speak of himself not as a shepherd, but as a gate, a door. Anyone who comes into the fold through me, the gate, will be safe. They will go in and out, and they will find pasture. Shepherds see. A tension between shepherds leading sheep and shepherds providing safe space in which, what is it, Bach says, they may safely graze. If you have ever seen a shepherd herding sheep, as I saw on those moors, come along and hear about them some more on Wednesday if you can stand it. The shepherds there on quad bikes. Herding sheep isn't the same as what we often mean by leading them. If by leading them you mean leading them by the nose, the kind of leadership that is everywhere on offer today. Sheep, those silly, bouncy, directionless animals, are free. They are safe, but free. That's shepherds for you. At least that's good shepherds. A shepherd that spends all their time leading sheep from place to place, too closely monitoring what sheep do or where they can go, that is no shepherd worthy of the name. That is not so much a shepherd, more a control freak, you might say. A shepherd's work is hard. If you see a shepherd at work, they spend a huge amount of time and energy, not quite so much now they've got quad bikes, still. Usually, with the help of a sheepdog, trying to get sheep together. Going after stragglers that get the most ridiculous places. Hauling feed onto little bits of inaccessible land so that the sheep can find it. Mending dry stone walls. That's what they're for, the walls. They're a kind of an outer limit barrier. Within them, the sheep are free. Safe. They know they'll be, well, I don't know whether sheep know, but still, they will be looked after no matter where they go or what they do. But free. That's the good shepherd for you. The thing about Psalm 23 is that it can sound as if it's about a not a very good shepherd at all, always there, making us to lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd is a gate. By him we can come in and go out and find good pasture. Leading us beside still waters. The good shepherd leads us to find still waters for ourselves. Comforting us with his rod and staff. The good shepherd brings the rod and staff of his love along to rescue us when we have gone astray. Walk away from Psalm 23, my friends. The shepherd in the psalm in this world sounds a little bit too much like the shepherd who cares only for his own sheep, who makes a cozy little religion for the chosen few, whose followers gloat in front of their enemies as their table groans under the weight of all the good things that they have received. Walk away from Psalm 23 and walk towards the good shepherd. Follow Christ, the good shepherd, in whom we are safe and free. Safe even in the valley of the shadow of death. And free to go where we will and do what we will on good pasture. Of course, when they return to the faith, perhaps at a funeral, when they encounter Psalm 23 again, of course they will be comforted. Of course they will be warmed by the words that promise the presence of God. We all are. It's true. But did you notice that the traditional psalm ends with, "Dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? But in David's world, forever was my whole life long, or all the years to come. Or, as in the case of Harry Moveley's translation, as long as my life endures. In the world of the Good Shepherd, forever means all eternity, for the good shepherd has died and is risen and lives forever. And if any should encounter the good shepherd and his followers in this world, in the meantime, they will not encounter people who are snug in their religious bubble. They won't be encouraged to make enemies and gloat at them because of all that they have received, but they will encounter people who know that they are safe in God. They will, perhaps, see what it means to be set free in Christ, to come in and go out and find the good pasture that God has provided. And they will please God, hear about the Good Shepherd, who calls us to love our enemies, and who lays down his life for the sheep, for you and me and all, and who lives forever.